Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to travel astrally out to some place where there's Akashic records. And what are these Akashic records? What do we need to know that enhances our life about them? And to help us understand what this is all about are our two favorite astral travelers, Darren Knight. Darren, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad I'm here.
And Stephanie S. Darrow, welcome.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Welcome. So what we're here to do is to understand these, I call them Akashic, you call them Akashic, tomato, tomato.
Potato, potato.
Right. We'll have a good time anyway with these Akashic records. Stephanie, what can you tell us about these records?
They're a pictorial memory bank, a sort of ongoing movie, which when you pass over into the heavens, you're going to be studying those movies for quite a long time, to between 18 months and 2 years before you enter the mainstream of the heavens.
This is talking about after we die,
yes.
We're out there, and we're given the opportunity to go back in time and review our lives. Review the previous life that we just left, but we can even review other lifetimes.
Yes, we can.
Now, I also think of the Akashic records from my professional point of view as an intuitive, that I tap into those records with my clients regularly, calling on those records to show past lifetimes, to show events in history that will help my clients. These are both the Akashic records, but I'm doing it from this lifetime, and you're talking about when we do it after this lifetime.
Yes, we do it after this lifetime, but you review the life, not only the life you've just lived, but in detail, you know, you study it in detail, but also the previous lives you've lived up to the past 400 years. That's a broad generality. If you have a reason to look into lives before that, you can make requests and you can study those. For example, I'll give you an example, which is Wolfgang Mozart. He studied music, I believe, for 600 years before he was born as this great genius. So he would go back, when he returned to the heavens as Mozart, he would review his lives for the full 600 years, because then he would see his lines of development and how far he's come, and then he would have this good understanding of where he should be going in the future.
I'm curious as to where he went after that.
I don't know. I'm afraid I've lost track of him after that.
Okay.
But that much I do know. So, you know, when we have these wonderful lines of development, they can take us back way, way back. I myself have been studying astral time travel for 1,000 years, and from time to time I go back 1,000 years to my life as Chang, which is one of the first lives I had with my spirit guide and mentor, John Montgomery. We were both monks in Tibet, in the mountains of Tibet. We were studying astrology, and that's where we first discovered astral time travel. So since then, we've applied ourselves to developing that one line of development, and we're still at it. We're still doing the same thing. I've written one book. I'm in the process of writing another. And it's all very exciting, and it's all tied up to the Akashic records.
Well, that's wonderful. And not only that, but your son Darren is also an astral time traveler with you. And by the way, when we say astral time travel, I always think of astral travelers. Mm-hmm. And then you add the word time to it, because you're actually going out into a place where it's timeless. You can...
Well, let me explain, because people say there's no time in the heavens, but there very definitely is, because each dimension, there are 49 dimensions to the heavens. Each dimension has its own time-space continuum. If you didn't have the aspect of time, the whole structure would collapse on itself like a wedding cake as you move up. The vibrations increase, the wavelengths grow shorter, and the time-space continuum changes.
But that's why you would call yourself an astral time traveler,
yes,
you're moving into
because I do, when I go onto astral planes, I do go to different dimensions, and the time spectrum changes.
We still have chronological time, but chronological time in a more abstract...
Heaven's time changes.
It's more abstract, view. Right. It's, and that's why I say that it doesn't exist in the way that we know time.
It doesn't. It's a totally different experience. It's not past, present. It's not based on past, present, and future. It's based on vibration, wavelength, and the time-space continuum. It's a very fascinating concept. And to be able to move through the dimensions is a fascinating subject all in itself, because you're going through time barriers from one dimension to another, and the soul can do that.
Right, and you can only do it when you're present.
I think so. Being a time traveler also means that you have to manage the complexities of time in various dimensions, and especially when you return back to your physical body, you are managing the complexities of that. You can be out of your body for one night, and it will feel like a couple of weeks. And you have a couple of weeks of experience. Right. That's how abstract it can
right.
get.
Right, and a lot of people have had near-death experiences have had those same time differences.
Yes, they can be under anesthetic for a few hours and then having been gone for a long time.
Yeah, they might think they're out there a week or two or a month even.
Yes, but the thing is, here we have the limitation of the veil coming between their memories of what where they've been and what they've done, and their physical brain trying to assimilate what they've experienced, because the brain will forget. So this right. is why writing it down and recording it mentally in your head when you return back to your body is the key to remembering where you've been.
This is very interesting to talk about the difference between here and there. And also, Stephanie, you are very interested in what happens after we pass on, and you've written a book about it that I loved, Seven Glorious Days in Heaven. It's so detailed about what happens after we die, where we go, what to expect, and the opportunities there. And I love the opportunities of these Akashic records, because we can climb back into every moment of a previous life, or any moment of a previous life, and re-experience it. We can either see it, we don't have to climb into it, but we can actually climb into it and experience it.
I think under certain conditions, we're actually intended to feel the full weight of a past life.
So we understand the karmic value of it.
Exactly, we kind of remember it by the fact that we're actually that person again. We're thrown back into that scenario again to get a more full remembrance. And other times we're in a third person perspective viewing it outside the event.
So we have the choice of both ways.
And also the other aspect of it is how we use it here as channelers, as mediums. We are given files from the Akashic Records by our spirit guides, by our guardians and guides, to help us support and help us manage those who come to us who need our abilities, to help them unravel their own complexities and to help them make better choices in their lives and to manage their own choices in their lives.
Well, when you say we, I think you're meaning the general public.
Yeah.
We're all guided, and the use of our Akashic records helps orient us to what our purpose in life is and to who we're here to unfold life with.
Yes, it definitely links to our personal relationships, because when we are with our soulmates, if we don't recognize that soulmate, maybe we're given a little bit of Akashic information to jot that memory, to say, you have been with this person before.
Not just our unconscious or subconscious mind that knows all. We actually have guides out there that can plug in some of this information
to us. Exactly, just to remind us of our soul missions in this life. The soul missions we have linked together with others traveling our lives with us.
I love the serendipity of life, and so much of that is organized.
Well, there's coincidence and coincidence. So I feel like we think things are coincidental, but they're not. They're actually coinciding situations, events, energies that were handed, were given, are intentional, are planned.
Yes.
From those higher up than us, those managing our lives, and the goal of our lives are to develop a certain level of ability, and they make sure we stay on path.
See, one thing that's exciting to me is that because you guys are working with guides out there, clearly you have John Montgomery and you have another guide called Peter.
Yes.
And you know the help that exists because you're actually working with them.
Yes.
And of interest to us to know that when you're reviewing your Akashic records, you can watch it the way you watch a television screen, or you can move into it but keep your vibration just high enough so that you're not part of it but you're very close to the action, or you can actually step into it and relive it. But at all times, you're in control. You have the remote control. So you can watch any life that you wish to review.
I'm excited about going out there and reviewing some of the wonderful times of my earlier life and staying away from some of the worst parts of it.
Well, also, you know what a lot of people who like to think of their past lives, everyone would like to think they were Elvis Presley or Cleopatra or something. Most of us have actually lived nondescript lives that no one ever knew anything about us, but were very meaningful ones all the same. So we don't need to be important key historic roles to actually be important in our own progression and helping them acknowledge their being, acknowledge their soul. At this point, especially for you, Stephanie, I'm going to bring in John Montgomery into our conversation through direct voice because I feel we've talked so much about John Montgomery and it's about time we start including him directly.
I'm happy about that. He's very welcome to join Energy Stew.
Very happy to be on Energy Stew, Peter. The questions about science moving forward to link in with spirituality and the other senses is if we develop ourselves as individuals and as souls, that we will make a science that we could never imagine. Whereas if we do not link up together with our souls and do not apply ourselves to our progression, the science we have will be only earth-based and will not be progressive. There are sciences way ahead of physical mentality and physical understanding. Once we link into the soul and the soul's progression, we start to come up with meta-science, science that goes beyond normal physical realms and beyond normal physical roles, that includes cosmic energies.
I love that, and I think that we are headed that way for sure. It's beyond our imagination, because I believe that everything is science, that you can explain everything through math and form, that we are form.
Yes.
That thought is also form.
Our bodies coexist is the science of the soul in physicality. So vibration is the key to coexisting bodies.
And that's science.
And that is metaphysics and meta-science.
And someday there'll be such advanced scientists that we can actually explain all that.
If we promote the soul, then the soul scientists will present themselves into this world.
Oh, good.
So you are doing that work, Stephanie is doing that work, and this is the way forward for true progression.
That's wonderful. And John, I've heard about you for many years, and it's finally the first time that we've actually had a chance to talk together.
I have been a fan of your work for a very long time, Peter. And together with Stephanie, we are working toward expanding an understanding of the soul in action, in the world, in the human realm.
And that's what we're all seeking. And that's a lot of what my show Energy Stew is about, is the inquiry into consciousness and who we truly are and what to expect more of ourselves as humanity evolves.
If we stick to the subject of the Akashic Records for now, then the Akashic holds many keys, because within our past existences lie the future of who we are going to be and who we plan to become. So the soul stepping stones of life to life links directly to other lives who we consolidate our forces into bigger soul groups and have more advanced missions and bigger roles in humanity, so that the progressions as collectives then have an even bigger role to play in developing human consciousness and the human evolution.
You just gave me a great insight, and I'm realizing that the limitations of human minds at this point, we're only using a small capacity of our brains, and our awareness, actually that limitation separates us from each other and separates us even in community. It makes our egos stronger and more isolated because we can't see beyond our limitation. But as we expand consciousness and become more transparent with each other, all of a sudden we become more of each other and the community is more natural to create.
This is why Stephanie and I have worked so hard to get the sixth and seventh senses out into the masses. As it's happening now, there are more sixth and seventh sense activity and activations happening, because that is the key to having a collective empathy with humanity. Because until that point, there is separatism, and that separatism divides us all.
Exactly. That's what we're striving for, is to advance consciousness. And we do it in ways of information, of helping people learn how to be more conscious, giving them activities that create expanded consciousness. I've been working with a machine up in Massachusetts called the Light Field that opens up consciousness. There's also another machine we created called Grace, and we get in these machines and all of a sudden we're in other phases of harmony that we hadn't experienced.
The challenge is, Peter, is to try apply this in the scenarios you are already in, to try not to find a vehicle to stimulate it, but to stimulate your own being as you're involved in the complexities of your own persona and the complexities of your own life plan.
Right.
Put that in action, put your soul in action into that, and you will be advancing yourself far more than any device could ever do.
Sure.
Because your soul device is the greatest one at your fingertips.
Right. These devices are mainly there to add harmony to our field so that we can then explore by ourselves, and it opens us up to our own self-exploration.
We equally have to be able to function within chaos and disharmony.
Yes.
That is the challenge. Heaven is, it's easy to be angelic.
Right.
On higher planes.
Right.
It's very hard for you to manage being of a higher level on a place that has lower vibrations.
Right. And so there are techniques, and I like employing techniques. Meditation is a technique. Exercise is a technique. Sounding, using our tonal sounds, or being around toning bowls, are other ways to lift consciousness.
Yes, and also to allow love in action, to be a loving, kind, considerate,
I love that.
Aware, empathic soul.
Right.
Is a very, very good way.
So enhancing community and creating love of each other through being resourceful together and opening up the opportunities to interact at deeper heart levels,
yes,
is where we also open up
consciousness. Remember, Peter, you didn't call the Heart River Center that for nothing.
Right.
Okay, I have to say goodbye now, and thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Darren, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Peter.
This was wonderful to hear from John. He was very clear that...
I'm still getting used to direct voice, Peter.
Okay.
It uses a certain kind of energy from me and leaves my arms tingling. Just for those who do direct voice.
Okay. We didn't want to tell you, but while you were doing that, your arms were waving like crazy. No, I'm kidding. No, I was kidding. Now, Stephanie.
Yes, Peter.
When we look back at other lifetimes in these Akashic records, what's our purpose for it?
Purpose, I think, is this. When we review our lives, we're accustomed to thinking of ourselves and the present identity. But when we look back over previous lives, we see different identities. We see different personalities that we've had. We see many things that we've accomplished. We've lived in different times and different eras in different cultures. And it's an amazing range of lives that we've experienced. And when you review those, your identity changes. And it gives you a great sense of self-confidence that you may never have had before, because you become far more rounded out.
So out there, we know ourselves even better.
Far more rounded out as souls. And that when we see what we've done, we say, I did that. I accomplished that. So that gives us motivation when we think, what am I going to do for my next life? Well, then we bear in mind the things we've already accomplished. And that points us in a direction that we may never have considered before.
So it's really a purpose out there to review in order to plan, to learn more about who we are outside of whatever limitations we felt we came from in our last life, to see how much we might have accomplished in other lifetimes and have a bigger picture of who we are, so that the next life has a purpose even beyond what we might be thinking just after this one lifetime.
Far more holistic identity than we've ever had before. And it changes our entire perspective on life and on ourselves and what we're capable of doing. And that changes everything.
Right, so a lot of the problems that we have in this lifetime, in many ways, it can make us insecure. We can go out there after this lifetime and think of ourselves in very small ways. And then we get to look back on many lifetimes and go, wow, look at me.
Right, did I actually do that? Was that really me? And it's amazing. what you really have done in the past. We're all in for a surprise when we pass over.
How many people are linking together in this current life? Very interested in Roman documentaries about Roman history, or totally interested in watching about Victorian times, and they love the old Victorian clothes and the old Victorian feel. And that actually, I feel, is a yearning, someone who really had loved those times when they lived those lives in those times, and they want to recapture it for some reason. Maybe those lives in those times were very happy ones, and they want to make those links.
Right, I've always felt that about people who are obsessed with, for instance, the American Civil War.
Exactly.
And there are so many people like that.
There are people who reenact the American Civil War. There are people who reenact these old battles with armor and muskets and whatever weapons they used at those times, and they'd get together hundreds, maybe even thousands of people to have reenactments.
And they don't realize they're actually trying to relive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And enjoying it. Enjoying reliving it as who they are now.
Right, sure. So this is all about learning who we are so we can plan ahead for that next life. It's hard to imagine the next life when we're still solid in the middle of this one.
Well, actually, when we like to think of our next life, we can actually look at our current life and regard it as how we would have felt in our past life, thinking what this life is going to be for us. Because the connections are, if we take one step back from it, who we are now is a reflection of who we're going to be next time, and who we are now is a reflection of who we were last time, and we couldn't imagine who we are going to become. So this stepping stone process has a lot of beauty, and we are going to be in future human history.
It's interesting.
The same way we're in past human history.
Right, but it's interesting that we live in a world where we're not supposed to know all that information while we're here, because then we're not being authentic to this life.
We're not in the now.
Yes.
And I feel like to address the past gives us more of an ability to be more in the now, because at least we've addressed it. Until that point, we're maybe reacting more about the past and not living our present.
Yes. It's helpful, though. I'm glad that I know that I had some lifetimes. My last lifetime was in India, and I had some lifetimes in Tibet, and it's helpful for me to know that. I'd like to know more about it. I'd like to know myself better in that way, but we have to be grounded and stationed here and do the best we can with this life.
I feel like that acknowledgement allows you more room to be in the present, just to acknowledge that past and put it away because you've acknowledged
it. Yeah, I appreciate it. And so out there are these Akashic records that we use to plan for the future. What else out there helps us plan for the future? Don't we have guides?
The Council of Elders.
Council of Elders.
Will always help us to plan our future, because they provide the birth charts, which each one of us has a birth chart, which is constructed before we come to Earth, and we have a choice of birth charts, and that is that each birth chart is our next step in evolution.
All right, I hope they also know human design.
Yeah.
Good. Because it did come from out there, it was channeled in.
Right.
And so when we understand the details of the life we're moving into, isn't there also a way when we're out there to be shown parts of our future life?
I really don't know too much about the future, Peter. Right now, I'm developing the eighth sense. I developed the seventh sense as an astral time traveler long ago. So now I'm developing the eighth sense, and that helps me when I go to sleep at night. I automatically go into the Akashic Records and learn a great deal. But the ninth sense, I understand, takes you into the future.
Okay. I had a glimpse of it myself, just a glimpse of a lifetime of mine.
Seven. Oh, it must be exciting to go into your own future.
It was seven lifetimes in the future.
Oh, that must be very exciting.
It was very helpful to me because I saw how evolved I had become in seven lifetimes from now. And so it was very satisfying to see. So, there is a chance for me.
So the question is...
Oh, I'm sure you're going to do wonderfully well, Peter.
Are you as smart as Yoda?
Well, I didn't judge it that way. I just actually, it was the light that I was experiencing in that lifetime was so bright. And it was much brighter than any light I could hold in this life.
Well, maybe they showed you that to inspire you.
I think
so. Keep you going.
I think so.
Yes.
And so we have all these opportunities once we can explore other dimensions. And both of you are great explorers.
Very much.
And it's interesting that you come from a long line of it. your family goes back in some generations of being astral time travelers.
We also develop our different little individual ways and have our own individual subject matters.
Right, because you came here with your own different karma to deal with.
Exactly. We talk about our past lives, and my subject matter that hits very deeply for me is how our relationships with each other carry on through life to life. That's a very big part for me. And when we recognize a soulmate in our life who we've obviously been with or can truly feel we've been with many times before, and those connecting lives we've had with our soulmates, that's very important for me.
Right, and that's something that I want to learn more about maybe in a future show, is how we arrange with other people who we've had many lifetimes with out there, because obviously we connect with them out there and we have astral friendships.
Very much. We wouldn't tackle our personal issues with a new soul who we have no connection to whatsoever, because when the issues arise, we wouldn't stay very long to manage them. The loyalty and depth of substance of relationship isn't there, but with a soulmate it is. So we generally tackle our deepest issues and our deepest anxieties and fears with those we trust the most.
Right, and it can be quite a few people. It's not just one partner. You might have many, many, like my twin brother, for instance.
Yes.
And my wife, and very close friends.
Yes.
That I have a great kinship for, and you wonder, what holds us together? And it's that loyalty of probably having many lifetimes together.
And what?
Well, Peter, one of the wonderful things you see when you go in the Akashic Record is that you see many of the people that are with you in this life were with you in previous lives, and you recognize them.
Yes, you recognize that they mean something to you, but you have no recognition of the previous life.
When you go into the Akashic Record and you see people, you do make a connection with who they were in that life and who they are in this life. You do make the connection, and you do get recognition.
Right, and actually people who are hypnotically regressed back into past lives also see that. They see who they're in relationship with in these other lifetimes, and they go, oh my gosh, you know, that's my mother in this life, or my brother.
You do get recognition. It's a strange phenomenon, but you do get that recognition, and you know them immediately. You recognize them immediately.
I feel it's wonderful to bring this stuff into consciousness. It's wonderful when we actually do and can consciously remember a past life, because then it's not something told to us, which is why I encourage mediumship with everybody who is able and capable and stable enough to do it.
I'm glad that I can help people by myself going back into their other lives and telling them about it, but I always recommend to people to have a direct experience.
Exactly, because then they don't believe, they actually start to know.
And it's actually very healing to have those experiences. So we're actually at the end of the show now, and I want to thank both of you for being
such wonderful guests. Thank you for being so gracious.
Yes, thank you.
And I want to also thank John Montgomery. He's not here right now. So Stephanie S. Darrow, how can people find you? What are your books?
My books will be available on Kindle and all the search engines, and you can also get it from Barnes & Noble. It's easy accessible.
Okay. And Seven Glorious Days in Heaven?
Yes.
And what's the other book?
Yes, it's only book one at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Book two will be coming down the line.
All right, so we're
maybe
excited.
Maybe in the next 12 months.
We're excited about that. Thank you so much, Stephanie. And Darren Knight, thank you for being a guest.
Yes, and you can find me on trinitysouls.net.
All right, trinitysouls.net. Very exciting. Thank you. You guys are wonderful, and I love talking with you, and let's talk again soon.
Thank you very much,
Peter. Thank you so much, Peter. Okay.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes going on. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.